Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Peyamud Bet, just to chazer over what we did yesterday. The end of the Gemara yesterday, Rami Bar Chama had a question with regards to a Kohen who is performing the service in the Mikdash. With regards to Tumat Tehom, does he have the same status as Balim or not? When we have this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that Tumat Tehom, the Tzitzit Miratzeh on it, does that only apply to the owners of the Karban? Or does that also apply to those that are processing, that are doing the Karban, bringing the Korban? So one of the Rayot, or an attempt at the Raya, was Rava. Rava says that we have the statement that it only applies to Tumat Tehom of Meit, not to Tumat Tehom of Sheretz. And he says, well, Tumat Tehom of Sheretz is not meaningful with regards to the Balim. It's not meaningful with regards to a Nazir. It's also not meaningful with regards to a Korban Pesach, at least according to one who says, Shochatim v'zorkim al tamei sheretz. Based on that, he says it must be talking about the Kohen, because he's the only one where we would differentiate between Tumat Tameit and Tumat Sheretz, where both of them would be impactful, and to say that there's a difference. So there he says, that's a proof that there is Tumat Tehom by the Kohen. Then we had Rav Yosef come along and says, no, why do you have to say that? I'm Rav Yosef, lolom bebalim bebesach. Talking about balim and pesach, and when it comes to say tumat meit, that's lafuke tumat ziva. So you have tumat home of meit, and now we're excluding tumat home of ziva. Now Gemara says, wait a minute, tumat home of ziva is not covered by the tzitz. Don't we have the position of Rav Yosef? So we ended up with yesterday, about Tanya, Rav Yosef Omer, shomeret yom keneged yom, sheshachatu bezarku alea b'sheni shela v'arkakach rata, when it comes to a woman, again, we explained this yesterday, that a woman, if she has a setting of dam, she becomes a nida. The subsequent 7 days, she is tmeah, whether she sees dam or she doesn't see dam. At the end of that 7 day, she becomes tohra, she goes to the mikvah, she becomes tohra, assuming that she doesn't see any more damim. As long as she doesn't see damim, she's tohra, she can see damim all the way to the last point of that 7 day, and she'd still be tohra. After that, begin what are called your Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva are 11 days subsequent to her Yemei Nida. During those 11 days of Yemei Ziva, if she has a sighting one day, she's what we call Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She has to then keep the next day B'Tahara Keneged the day that she had a sighting. In addition, if she has a second sighting on the subsequent day, then obviously she's Tumea on those 2 days, but then she waits a third day, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom again, B'Tahara, and she is Tehora, no problem. If she sees a third time on a third day, then she becomes a Zavagdola. Zavagdola then has to wait Shiva Nikiim. So in this instance, we have a woman who they were going to Shech the Korban Pesach for her. It was her second day. She had a sighting on Monday. Then on Tuesday, she is awaiting her Tara. I mean, that's her day that she's watching the Tara. But that afternoon is the Korban Pesach. So she wants to be a participant in the Korban Pesach, and she should be able to eat it that night, assuming that this day goes by without any incident. So they shech the Korban Pesach on her. Sure enough, after they shech the Korban Pesach on her, she has a sighting after the Korban Pesach. So now, as far as eating the Korban Pesach, there's no way she can eat it, because she has to still be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom the subsequent day. So she's not going to participate in the Korban Pesach. The question is, does she have to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni? Rabbi Yossi says, no, she does not bring a Korban Pesach Sheni. She was yotzeit with the Pesach they brought on her behalf. The Gemara says, my time, why did the Korban Pesach that was brought on her behalf work? La mishum demerat tzitz. Must be because the tzitz took care of the tumah. She had a tumah bisafek, as we will call tumah tahom of ziva. Really, tumah tahom is literally something that's buried in the ground, unknown to anyone. So that's plausible or possible when it comes to a mate. When it comes to a sheretz, when you're talking about the tumat ziva, then you can't talk in terms of tahom. Tahom and tahom there gets translated into tumat safek, something where we have uncertainty. At the time that they brought the Korban Pesach, there was uncertainty as to whether she'll finish this day b'tahara or she'll have a second sighting. And she has no way to know. There's nobody in the world knows that information until after the fact. So that's tumat tahom.
But when they brought the Korban Pesach, she was considered tumat.
No, because she went to the mikveh. She is completely tohra, assuming that she finishes out the day. Yeah, and she can go during the day, and when the sun sets on that day, that's the end of her day, and she's completely tohra. So as far as eating the Korban HaPesach, she'll be fine. The same way like your shochatim is okay, mal, tumat sheretz. No problem. By the nightfall, she'll be tohra. She could have eaten it. So this is tumat tahom of ziva, because she's uncertainty about the fact of whether she's going to finish the day b'tahara, or she's going to have a second sighting. That's what happened when she brought the Korban HaPesach. So what we're going to say is that tzitz was menatzeh to say even though she was tmeah, despite that fact, she was okay with the Korban HaPesach because it was tumat to home, and tzitz took care of it, and she did bring a Korban HaPesach. She doesn't have to bring a Pesach sheni. My time, huh? La mishum durat tzitz. Amar says Amar lo, maybe not. Mishum dechasav Rabbi Yossi mikan labahi mitama. The truth is that he doesn't subscribe or say this position that she doesn't have to bring a Pesach sheni because the tzitz is ratzeh, but rather because he believes that when she has the sighting on the second day, that sighting makes her tmeah mikan ulehaba, prospectively. You would have thought when she has the second sighting, it's retroactive. The second sighting joins with the first sighting. She was tmeah on the first day. She never got her tara on the second day. It's because she had this second sighting. So they join together to make it a continuous tumah that she has. And then she, on the third day, she'll have to do it bitara. She'll have to wait the third day. What Rabbi Yossi, or what the Gemara is suggesting is that Rabbi Yossi doesn't believe that. Rabbi Yossi believes that the second sighting is prospective. You have the first sighting. She was already Torah on the second day. So that means when she brought the Korban HaPesach, she was completely Torah. That's why the Korban HaPesach works for her. Then she has a sighting after the Korban HaPesach. Prospectively now, she is Tmeah. The obvious question for Rabbi Yossi, which the Gemara will address later, is how do you ever become a Zavah Gdola according to Rabbi Yossi? Zavah Gdola requires three sightings of Tumat Zivah. And how could you ever have that? If he always believes it's Mekan Alaba, there's no connection between the second sighting and the first sighting. The same will be true with the third sighting and the second sighting. So that the Gemara will address later. But the Gemara at this point assumes that the reason why she doesn't have to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni is because she's only prospectively Tmei'ah. She was completely Torah, not Safik. She was completely Torah when she brought the Korban Pesach. Where it says, is that really true? Vatanya. We have a brayta, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zav Baushtei Riyot. Zav that has two Riyot. A Zav can have three different types of Zav. It's a Zav with a Riyachat, as one sighting. A Zav Riyachat is the equivalent of a Baalkeri, someone who has a seminal mission. That person has to wait tumat erev. They go to the mikveh, by nightfall they are completely Torah. There's a zav baushtei riyot, a zav who has two sightings. Now again, for a zav, unlike a woman, it doesn't have to be on separate days, it just has to be quantitative sightings. So he has two sightings, he has what we call tumat shiva. He's tamei for 7 days, at the end of the 7 day period, if he doesn't have a sighting, meaning he has the shiva nikiyim, goes to the mikveh on the 7th day, sun sets on the 7th day, he's totally fine. Then there's a zav bau shalosh riyot. The Zav that has three sightings. The Zav has three sightings has the same din as Baal Shtei Re'iot, up to two sightings, which is the 7 days. Plus, on the 8th day, he'll have to bring a Korban. That's a Zav Baal Shlosh Re'iot. What we're talking about here is a Zav Baal Shtei Re'iot. So he had two sightings. It was his 7th day. On his 7th day, he's the equivalent of Tumat Sheretz. On the 7th day, it's his last day of Tahara. Since it's his last day of Tahara, he goes to the mikveh. By nightfall, he'll be Tahor. So once he goes to the mikveh, he's tahor by nightfall, he can eat that Korban HaPesach that night. So the assumption is that he will be fine that night. So they bring the Korban HaPesach on his behalf on that 7th day. V'achar kach ra'ah. And now all of a sudden he saw it on that 7th day. He had a sighting on the 7th day. Now it ruins everything. Once he has a sighting on the 7th day, he didn't have the 7 clean days, he didn't have Shiva Nikim. It undermines everything. And he doesn't have a Korban HaPesach that was brought b'tahara. V'chein. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, our case that we mentioned before, case of a woman of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, sheshachadu v'zarku aleha b'sheni shela. They went ahead and they shechted on her on her 2nd day, on the day that she was waiting b'tahara. V'achar kach ra'ata. And then she saw, after they brought the Korban HaPesach, she has a sighting. Hari elu mitamim mishkav u'moshav l'mafreya. Turah menasot Pesach Sheni. They don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Mishkav u'moshav is a type of tumah associated with a zavah and a zav, that they affect what they lay on, they affect what they sit on, that they give it tumat midras, they can make it into an ava tumah, they have certain forms of tumah that come with moshiav and moshav. The key element of this is the mafreya, retroactively. Which is that this is Rabbi Yossi in a braita saying that when you have a sighting on your 7th day, or you have a sighting on your 2nd day for the woman, the mafreya, retroactively, you are tumeah. That means that she was never tumeah. It's not prospective tumah. It was the whole time you were tumeah. If she was tumeah the whole time, then what's the only reason that she doesn't have to make a Korban Pesach on the Pesach Sheni? So what's the reason for that? Tzitz Meratzeh. That's the only reason that you could give here. Here she's clearly Tmeah when they brought the Korban Pesach for her. So if that's the case, then why was she not bringing a Korban Pesach Sheni? Or why is he, the Zav, not bringing a Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni? The answer is that Tzitz Meratzeh. Now we have Rabbi Yossi saying, what do you mean? Tumat Tohom by Ziva. Rabbi Yossi says here that the Tzitz is Meratzeh. Rabbi says, no. Imri Madu Mafreya, what does it mean retroactively? That's Midrabanan. That's only a din d'rabbanan. Midoraita, min haTorah, the tumah on the second day is only prospective. What about the fact we just said that there's retroactive tumah? That retroactive tumah is only a din d'rabbanan. That's a rabbinic institution. V'abra Yoshia savar mitamin mafreya midrabanan. Also, Rabbi Yoshia thinks that the mafreya retroactively, this din of Rabbi Yossi is only midrabanan. This is a very difficult piece here in the Gemara. It says the Tanya. A brayta, now they quote Rabbi Yoshia. The problem with that is that we do have Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Chia who are misader the brightot. They are tamidim of Rabbi who are misader brightot, but we don't ever find Rabbi Yoshia in the brightot themselves. He's a misader of the brightot, but he doesn't appear in the brightot. That's number one. Number two is we're going to have a discussion with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was clearly an Amora. He's having a discussion with Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora discussing with Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia doesn't belong in a brayta. Right? So that's number one. Number two is if you have a girsa, there are others that have a girsa of Rabbi Yoshia, which would be very difficult. Rabbi Yoshia would be from Bavel, that means, because he's not Rabbi. Rabbi Yoshia means that he's from Eretz Yisrael. So for him to appear in a brayta, he's Rabbi Yoshia, for sure would not happen because all the braytot and all the Tanaic works are from Eretz Yisrael. The likelihood is that it's Rabbi Yoshia, which is he is from Eretz Yisrael because he's speaking to Rabbi Yochanan, who's also from Eretz Yisrael. And it's more likely over here that the girsa over here is not the Tanya, but rather something along the lines of Damar Rabbi Yoshia, but not something that's found in a brayta. We read it as the Amar Rabbi Yoshia, aval zav shira'a b'shvi shalom. But a zav that sees on his seventh day, soter et shelifanav. He undermines, he ruins everything that happened before it. Now the word aval here means that he's in the middle of a sentence from something else. Rashi says, I don't know what the aval is referencing. I mean, I don't know what this is in the middle of. It's a statement that's connected obviously to something else. We don't know what the other piece of the statement was. We're only interested in this last piece of the statement, which is, Zav Shirah B'Shvi Shalom. Zav, who sees on the seventh day of Tara, on a Shivanikim, he sees on the seventh day, everything's undermined if he sees something then. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Lo Yistor Elo Yomo. Should only ruin that day. Mimonov Shach. The Gemara says, I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan's position. Ika Zavar Lamafreyu Mitamei. If it goes retroactively, Afilu Kulu Nistor. Then it should ruin everything going backwards. Meaning that if the sighting on the seventh day connects back to the original sightings, then he should be tamei all the way through. If he thinks it's only prospective, this sighting has no connection to the previous sightings, this is all prospective, then there shouldn't even be a problem for this day, because it doesn't connect back to the old ones, and now he has shivanikim. So he had mixatayom kekulo, he had a mixatayom betara, that was the end of his 7 days, this new sighting is a completely new sighting. Ela ema lo yistor velo yomo. So Rabbi Yochanan's statement should read like this, we amend Rabbi Yochanan's statement to say that lo yistor velo yomo, he asked Rabbi Yoshia, says he shouldn't even ruin this day, which means that Rabbi Yochanan believes that the tumah here, the sighting here is prospective. Ve'amarle, Rabbi Yoshia says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi kayikavadech, Rabbi Yossi holds like you. What do you mean he holds like you? He says that retroactively there is tumah. It's clear that Rabbi Yoshia believes that Rabbi Yossi's position is only derabanan, but midoraita, he believes that tumah is only prospectively, and that's why he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi and you have the same position here, which is that a sighting on the seventh day only generates prospective tumah, not retroactive tumah. So understanding this again, we have person who is a Zav Baush Deriot, he had two sightings. Now he has to wait 7 days Bitara. Those 7 days Bitara, he gets to the seventh day, and all of a sudden he has a sighting on the seventh day. So there are two possibilities. He had to view that sighting on the seventh day. Either that sighting on the seventh day says it's still part of the original two sightings that were there, and this now ruins the Shivanikim. He just ruined all the Shivanikim. He's got to restart his Shivanikim because it all just fell apart. He never got there. That's Lemafreya if you say it's retroactive. If you say it's prospective, then we say we have 2 days where he had two sightings beforehand. Those two sightings, now he waited the 7 days Bitara. He got to the seventh day. He began the seventh day Bitara. That's fine. Mixed Yom Kukulo, he got his 7 days Shivanikim. This sighting on the seventh day is a new sighting. It's a new Zav. He's now a Zav, and he could actually go to the mikveh right then. And by nightfall, he'd be Tahor again, because that's a single sighting. He'd have Tumat Erev. So he could actually go to the mikveh and be Tahor by that nightfall, because it's all prospective Tumah. That's what we're suggesting here, that Rabbi Yossi believes that the Tumah here is prospective. By saying that, that means in the case of the Zav, or in case of the woman who shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, when she has the second sighting on her day of Tahara, Or here, the Zav has a setting on his seventh day, that's prospective Tumah. That means they were completely Tahorim before that point in time. They were completely Tahorim before that time when they brought the Karban of Pesach. The reason they don't have to bring a Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni is because the first Karban Pesach was totally fine. When it was brought, they were completely Tahorim. Since they were completely Tahorim, that counts as their Korban HaPesach. Pesach Sheni, they don't have to bring. That night, they can't eat, possibly, because, of course, the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom won't be Tahorah. She has to wait the next day. And the Zav might be able to go to the Mikveh and be Tahor by that night, if he works it out, that he can do it, unless he has a second Riyah before nightfall. So that Zav possibly could eat it. But since they did the Pesach B'Tahorah, that's why they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Now, going back to Rav Yosef's statement, as far as a Kohen is concerned, now over here we have Tumat Tahom of a mate and Tumat Tahom of Ziva. Rav Yosef suggests that the Tumat Tahom of mate comes to exclude Tumat Tahom of Ziva, that the tzitz doesn't take care of it. And now we show that the tzitz doesn't take care of it. The reason why you don't have to do Pesach Sheni has nothing to do with the tzitz. It has to do with the fact that you're completely Tahor at that point in time. Since you're Tahor, the Zav or the Shmeret Yom Keneged Yom is completely Torah, at that moment in time, they got their Pesach done. And we didn't involve the tzitz at all. And therefore, we can't explain that the Braita that says that Tumat Tahom only applies to a mate is coming to exclude the case of Tumat Tahom by Ziva. Because we see here from Rabbi Yossi, there is no concept of Tumat Tahom by Ziva. And the whole tour that is generated over here is because of Mikan al-Haba Eim Tmeim. So if that's the case, we're now back to the proof that was brought by Rava from the Braita of Rabbi Chia, that it says Tumat Tahom only applies to mate, which then excludes Tumat HaSheretz. And if that's the case, Tumat HaSheretz, we saw already, has no application or no meaning in regards to the Balim, both by Pesach or by Nazir. If that's the situation, now we're going to conclude that a Kohen does have the din of Tumat Tahom, and the exclusion for Tumat HaSheretz applies to the Kohen. And that's what the Gemara tries to clarify now in Rabbi Yossi's position.
Rabbi Yossi, Ashra Damar Mikan Labahu Mitamei, the mate Bilvad, that's only by a mate, the Mutemai. What does that come to exclude? Nifshot Mina Debi Kohen, Vahutralo Tumat Tahom. Let us suggest that it's coming to exclude a Kohen, and therefore Tumat Tahom is Mutar. So Mar says, no, Imri Lolam Bibalim Bu Pesach, like Rabbi Yosef suggested before. No, we're talking about Balim in the Pesach. Pesavar in Shochatim is Okim Al Tamei Sheretz. We can suggest that you don't bring a Korban when you're talking about Tumat HaSheretz. Over here, we can suggest that when it comes to Tumat Mate, it's coming to exclude Tumat Sheretz. And when it excludes Tumat Sheretz, that's talking about the Balim. Ah, what about the fact that Shochatim is Okim Al Tamei Tumat Sheretz? We'll say that Rabbi Yossi is of the position in Shochatim Zorkim Atamei Sheretz. So therefore it would be an exclusion and the tzitz would not be Miratzen. So that's the way that you could explain Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is coming to exclude too much Sheretz.
And it applies to Balim because the Balim, had it not been for the fact that the tzitz is Miratzen, would not be able to bring the Korban Pesach because Ein Shochatim Zorkim Atamei too much Sheretz. So the tzitz possibly could have been Matir or Mitaher. The answer is it doesn't take care of it. And that's what the exclusion from the Braita Rebbe Chiya is. Not to read it that the Tumat HaSheretz over here is coming to tell you that by a Kohen, Tumat HaSheretz doesn't apply, implying or concluding that by a Kohen, Tumat Tahom of Mate does apply. Don't come to that conclusion because we can read it applying only to the Baalim. And if we do that, you have no proof with regards to the Kohen.
Now the Gemara moves on to that question that we had before with Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi is Zavag Murai Chamishkachala. How do you, according to Rabbi Yossi, this is the question I mentioned before, according to him, how do you ever have a Zavah Gdolah, which is a case where you have a Zavah who sees 3 days in a row? But if every day is prospective Tumah, how do you connect between the three cases? So one answer is B'Shofat. She has a continuous flow. She has a continuous flow. She never had a point in time where she had a cessation in the flow, and she can't count that as a Mitzvot HaYom Kekulo, that she's Tehora, and therefore it's not prospective Tumah, it's continuous Tumah. And that's how she becomes a Zavah Gdolah. That's one case. She saw it 2 days in a row during the entire Ben HaShmashot. So again, let's suggest here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Monday evening, going into Tuesday, she had a sighting then that ran from the beginning of dusk till the end of dusk, and that point in time between Monday and Tuesday. Then on Tuesday evening as well, she has a sighting at the end of Tuesday going into Wednesday. Ben HaShmashot, she has a sighting that entire Ben HaShmashot. That's the way Rashi establishes the case here. Rashi has two chidushim in his Perush. Rashi's number one is that Ben Hashmashot, according to Rashi, is not Birya Bifnei Atzma. It's not its own world, but it's rather, it's a fake Monday, it's a fake Tuesday, and actually it's both. It's both Monday and Tuesday. Part of it's Monday, part of it's Tuesday. So therefore, when she has a sighting called Ben Hashmashot, that means she had a sighting on Monday and Tuesday as well. Then on Tuesday evening, going into Wednesday, she has a sighting entire Ben Hashmashot as well then. So that means she has a sighting on Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's how she gets her 3 days. But it's important here that she has her 3 days because she never has Mikset Hayom Kikulo. She never has a part of the day where she's completely Torah because she always has a sighting during the day. And she also has a sighting at night. So what Rashi says over here is the second Chiddush in Rashi. It's a very big Chiddush, which is, says, Zafit Varim, Laman Darim Mikset Hayom Kikulo Tchilat Hayalayla Ula L'Sfirata. The reason that we set it up as Ben Hashmashot is because this person believes that you could count as Mikset Hayom Kikulo the night. That's why she has to see it called Ben Hashmashot. She has to see it on Monday going into Tuesday, so that she sees it at the beginning of Tuesday night, because otherwise that night would count as Mikset Hayom Kikulo for her Tahara. And she also has to see it Tuesday afternoon to knock out Tuesday day, and then into Wednesday night so that it does no Mikset Hayom Kikulo on Wednesday. So Rashi has a big chiddush here, which we don't usually say, which is Mikset Hayom Kikulo applies at night. When we say Mikset Hayom Kikulo, we usually mean that only daytime hours count as Mikset Hayom Kikulo, for instance, by Avedut. By Avedut, on the seventh day of Avedut, as well on the first day of Avedut, when we want to say Mikset Hayom Kikulo, we talk about the daytime hours. You have to go into the day to have Mikset Hayom Kikulo. Rashi's Mechadish here, this Mikset Hayom Kikulo might imply even at night as well. Those are the two chiddushim of Rashi. One that Ben Hashmashot counts for both days. I mean, it's from the Gemara, that's what it sounds like. It's not really Mechadish, but he's saying to you that Ben Hashmashot counts for both days. Number two is that Mikset Hayom Kikulo counts at night. Tosafot disagrees and says there's no Mikset Hayom Kikulo at night. We never find such a thing. Mikset Hayom Kikulo only applies during the daytime. Well, if that's the case, then why does she have to have the sighting Ben Hashmashot? She could have the sighting in the morning at Alot HaShachar, and that would ruin her Mikset Hayom Kikulo. You just have to have her have it on Monday evening, then on Tuesday morning, because then she never had Mikset Hayom Kikulo, and then you have it on Tuesday evening again, going into Wednesday, and then you have your three times. She doesn't have to have it Ben Hashmashot. It could be in the mornings, because that would ruin the Mikset Hayom Kikulo. So Tosafot says, has a chiddush, he has to come up with a chiddush to offset the fact that he's not saying Mikset Hayom Kikulo at night, and he says that Mikset Hayom Kikulo can apply both in the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Mikset Hayom Kikulo can apply from the morning. If you get into the morning and then you have a part of the day, the bitara, that's Mikset Hayom Kikulo. He also says that Mikset Hayom Kikulo can apply at the second half of your day. The latter half of your day could also be Mikset Hayom Kikulo. So if you have the latter half of the day, bitara, until the end of the day, that's called Mikset Hayom Kikulo. Now what it does say is that you can't have Mikset Hayom Kikulo in the middle of the day. You can't have tara in the middle of the day. You have to either have to start the day bitara, that's Mikset Hayom Kikulo, or end the day bitara, and that's Mikset Hayom Kikulo.
What's the end?
As long as there's a point of time, right? Any period of time where you're tahor till the end, through the end of the day, right? Through the end of the day. Now he does qualify his chiddush and says that the sof hayom kikulo doesn't work b'tchilat cheshbon, when you're beginning a count. It only works when you're ending a count. It can work to be the last day of your count. It can work to be the end of your count. It can't work to be the beginning of your count. So that's like the zav in the shvi'i or the shomer yom keneged yom. So that they only have to count now the end of their count. They're at the last day of their count. So the Mikset Hayom Kikulo at the end of the day would count towards their seventh day if they got there. And that's why the Gemara used Ben Hashmashot to eliminate the fact that you could have Mikset Hayom Kikulo at the end of the day. Because now you have a sighting on the day before Ben Hashmashot going into the nightfall. So now you have a sighting. You could have had Mikset Hayom Kikulo at the end of the day. So you have Ben Hashmashot again, where at the end of the day you also have a sighting. So the beginning and end of every day, you're having a sighting so that you can never have a Mikset Hayom Kikulo. Because the sighting at nighttime makes it that the next day cannot be counted as your Yom HaShimur, because you had a sighting that day, so you need to wait the next day. And then the possibility on the next day of this end of the day being a Mikset Hayom Kikulo and solving your problem, then you have a sighting right before Ben Hashmashot, the right of Ben Hashmashot, which cuts off the end of the day, and then a sighting for the beginning of the next day. So you never get to a day where you're going to have the possibility of having a shimur. But both of them have to explain this Gemara, and they're trying to explain why the Gemara used Ben Hashmashot as the threshold and not Alot HaShachar. which is the time period that really matters, which is daytime. If you have a sighting during the day, then you lose your mixed day yom kekulo. So that's when you would want to have the sighting. Fact is that they're saying it's ben hashmashot. Why did the Gemara use ben hashmashot? Right. So now by Rav Yosef. Now we're going back to Rav Yosef. Kohen hamiratze b'tamid. The Kohen who is bringing the korban tamid. Hutra lo tumatom olo. Does tumatom work for him or not? Now, imtim salomar, if you say kohen hamiratze b'karbanotehen of the Nazir and the Pesach that we had before, hutra lo tumatom. So this is Rav Yosef before tried to suggest that we're speaking about the Baalim and we have no proof about the Kohen. Now Rav Yosef poses the question as if the conclusion before was that a Kohen that was doing a Karmen of Pesach or an El Nazir was protected from Tumatom, that sits is Meratzeh. So based on that, that's number one. Then the Kohen Meratzeh b'Tamid, my. The Kohen that's working on the Tamid, what's his din? Mi Amrinan ki gemiri Tumatom b'Pesach. Where's the Lach of the Moshe Mishinai? That's only by Karmen of Pesach. B'Tamid lo gemiri. It doesn't apply by Karmen Tamid. It's specific to Karmen Pesach or El Nazir. Odilma, Yolif Tamid mi Pesach. We'll learn out a Tamid from Pesach, meaning that we'll extrapolate the din. It applies to Karbanot, and just like it applies to Pesach, it'll apply to the Karban Tamid. Now Rashi again notes two things here. That was the question posed before about the Kohen, but that was about Korban of Pesach. But Rav Yosef now is doing, even though he rejected this understanding before, saying, if we conclude that Tumat Tahom works for Karban Pesach, then this is my question. In addition to that, he also has to believe that Tumat Tahom, you're allowed to bring it the Chatchila. Because the question here is not Bidyevit after the fact. He wants to know that can the Kohen bring the Korban Tamid if he has Tumat Tahom over here. So Rashi says it's a question of the Chatchila, based on a position we're going to see in later in today's daf, that there is someone who believes Tumat Tahom, you can even bring it the Chatchila, not just Bidyavad. So Rashi says, Amarabba, Kavachomer. What's the question here? It's a Kavachomer. In a place where Tumat Yudah, if you were really Tamei, you don't get an exemption, Karban Pesach. If you knew you were Tamei, you could not bring the Karban Pesach. Huchalo Tumat Ha'om. Over there we say Tumat Ha'om works. Makom Shehuchalo Tumat Yudah, case by the Karban Tamei, which is a Korban at Sibur, where Tumat Yudah is overridden, then Eino Din Shehuchalo Tumat Ha'om. Certainly, Tumat Ha'om should be waived in the face of the Karban Tamid. Amrei said back to him, wait a minute, v'chi dainin kam v'chomer me'alocha? You're taking a logical argument and applying it to Alocha L'moshe Mi'Sinai. The whole idea of an Alocha L'moshe Mi'Sinai is that it's not subject to the rules of logic. It's not subject to the rules of normal Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav, something that's written explicitly in the Torah. Then you can make a kam v'chomer, then you apply the other rules of the Shloshos Midot of Rabbi Yishmael, because that's written in the Torah. The whole idea of halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai is that it's not subject to that. It's a specific halacha about a specific item, and that's it. It's unique to that event or that case. Otherwise, it doesn't apply. You don't start trying to extrapolate the halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. Vatanya, we have a bright Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva, etzim kisara halacha, ribi dam kavachomer, vein damin kavachomer halacha. We have a conversation. This is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva with regards to a nazir. It says that by a nazir, if he comes into contact with an etzem kisseora, a barley-sized bone from a mate, he is tamei, and it's soter. It ruins his din of nazir, and he has to bring the carbonate to my for nazir, and he has to restart his count. What about a revi'it dam? A revi'it dam, if you have a revi'it worth of dam from a mate, it's mitamei ba'ohel. It has a higher form of tumah than etzem kisseora. Etzem kisora can only be mitamei, b'mago, umasa, b'heset. That's the only way it can be mitamei. Revi adam can also be mitamei b'ohel. So what Rabbi Akiva says is, etzem kisora is not mitamei b'ohel. Now, Rabbi Akiva says, well, if etzem kisora ruins it for the nazir, then certainly revi adam is going to ruin it for him, because it's a higher level of tumatameit. Rabbi Eliezer's response to him is, etzem kisora is halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. That affects the nazir. So if you have halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai, you can't apply kal v'chomer to halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. That's a logical argument on top of a halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. It doesn't apply. So what the Gemara proves from here is that you can't use your normal methods for limud on top of halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. David, that's what you were asking. That's the answer. You're right. It's halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. What do you mean? We're learning Pesach to Tamid. You can't have that. Either it applies to Pesach only, and that's what it was said about, or it applies to Zvachim in general. And that's the question. Where does the halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai apply? So, El Amarava, Yalif Mo'ado, Mo'ado mi Pesach. We're going to learn out Mo'ado, Mo'ado mi Pesach, which is that, just like Mo'ado is written by the Korban HaPesach, it's also written by the Korban Tamid. And so therefore we do have a limo. The Mo'adol that is taught to us in both these places teaches us about the overriding of Tumah, teaches about the overriding of Shabbat. Mo'adol joins the Pesach and the Tamid together that they have a similar din. And so when we have this din of Tumah Tahom, it will apply equally to the Korban HaPesach as it does to the Korban HaTamid. But Mo'adol teaches you that they have the same din. And so therefore the Halacha Mishmizayin is going to apply equally to both of them, right? Now, the Gemara does something strange here. It does a flashback. This is, we're going to ask a question which seems obvious to us now, which is, Tumat Tahom Gufa Hechativa. Where do you find Tumat Tahom in the Torah? What do you mean, where do you find it in the Torah? We just said Tumat Tahom is Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. So this is, the Gemara is a flashback. This is prior to all the things that we've said until now. We're after the conclusion of this piece of Gemara. This piece of Gemara was prior to that, and they were trying to figure out where did Tumat Tahom come from. And that's the question being asked here. What is the source for Tumat Tahom? The Gemara is going to conclude here that it is a halacha, the Moshe Misinai. After that conclusion, all the Gemaras that we did until now are based on that conclusion. So again, this is like a flashback, which is, Tumat Tahom, Gufa Echativa. Where is it written in the Torah? Marlaz Amar Parah, Pasuk says by the Nazir, Bichi Yamut Meit Alav, if a mate dies on him. Bim Mechuveret Alav, where it's clear to him that there's a mate there. So now, Mechuveret Alav means that he knows there's a mate. If he didn't know there was a mate, then that tumah would not affect him. Ashkechat nazir. That helps you for the nazir. Osa pesach in yalan. How do you know about the pesach? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kra. The pasuk says, derech rechok alechem. It says, the person was tamei, or derech rechok alechem. Those are the people that get pushed off to pesach sheni. Mimechuveret lechem. Only if it's clear to you, that lechem modifies not just the derech rechok, but also the tamei. If it's clear to you that you're tamei, then you move to pesach sheni. If it's not clear to you, mean that Tumat Tahom, then you would not be pushed off the Pesach Sheni. Shema Lakish Amar Kederach. Tumah and Derach are placed together. They're juxtaposed in the Pasuk. Ma Derach Bigalui. Just like a Derach is obvious and open and clear. Av Tumah Nami Bigalui. Only Tumah that is obvious or clear to you that it's there is problematic. Tumat Tahom is not. So here we have three sources for the idea that Tumat Tahom does not apply. So now we have a source in the Torah for Tumat Tahom. Beitavei. Can we really use these sources? Ezu tumat tahom. We have a definition of Tosefta as to what tumat tahom is. Kol shelo hikir ba'achad b'sof olam. As long as nobody in the world knows about it, that's called tumat tahom. Hikir ba'achad b'sof olam. There's someone in China who knows about this mate. Ain't that tumat tahom? That's not tumat tahom because there's one person in the world that knows about it. That's not tumat tahom.
Even if the people here don't.
Right. Even the people who are in proximity to it or in the locale where it's found, don't know about it, that's not called Tumah. Tumah Tahom is where nobody knows about this Tumah, nobody knows about this mate. Now that's a problem, why? Le Rabbi Al-Azhar Damar B'Mechuveret Alav, that has to be clear to him, Adi Adahu, until he knows about it. That would mean that Tumah Tahom, according to Rabbi Al-Azhar, is defined by whether the person who became Tamei had the information or not. It's nothing to do with anybody else. Did this person who became Tamei know about it or he did not know about it? It's not relevant that someone else knows about it because his limud is dependent on mechuveret alav, that he is aware of it. Rabbi Yochanan demar lachem, when he says mechuveret lachem adi yadei ba'atrein, then at least two people need to know it because he has the word lachem in plural, which is teaching you until it's clear to you. What does it mean, you in the plural sense, you? And that means that at least two people need to know about it before it's considered to be not tumat tahom, whereas the bright is saying only one person needs to know about it. Shemelakish domar kederach adi yadei kuli alma. Has to be galoy. Has to be obvious that there's tumah here. Until everybody knows about it, then it's not tumah tahom. So that can't be the sources for tumah tahom because it doesn't reconcile with the braita that we just brought, the tosefta that we just brought defines tumah tahom. But their limudim from the psukim do not bear out the same type of tumah tahom. In each of their limudim, they have a lower standard for tumah tahom than the braita does. Ella tumah tahom hilchata gemirila pra asmachta ba'alma. Tumat Tahom is a halacha the Moshe Misinai. Psukim are simply a hint at this. They're not the real limud. So again, this is the conclusion of the Gemara. And then everything we did before was based on this conclusion already, that Tumat Tahom is a halacha the Moshe Misinai. The questions that we asked before, does it apply to the Balim and the Kohen? Does it apply to the Korban Tamid? All those questions that we were raising are premised on this idea that it's a halacha the Moshe Misinai. Now, Amar Mar Rav Ashi, Lo Shanu El Shnodo Lo Lachar Zriga. It's only true that Tumat Tahom is covered by the tzitz if he finds out about it after they've already done the Zrikat Adam. Tehiz Darik Dam, Shapri Yitz Darik.
Because Adam, when they did the Zrikat Adam, they thought he was Tahor, they thought everything was okay. Well, no, the Lo Lifnei Zrika. If he finds out before Zrika, Lo Miratzeh. The Tzitz doesn't carry care of it because you're now trying to go in and do the Kaparada Chatchilo with the Tzitz being Miratzeh and Tumat Tahom. So the difference between Bidiabad and the Chatchilo. According to Marba Ravashi, this Tzitz Miratzeh and Tumat Tahom is only Bidiabad. The Chatchilo doesn't work. Meitevei, it's not really true. Hamotze Meit Mushkav Rachvo Shel Derech. You find a mate that is laid across the entire road. The reason for that is, so there's no possibility that he went through this road without crossing over the mate. There was definitely Tumat Oel here. It was the Rachbo. Across the width of the road, there was a mate buried. This is a mate that nobody knew about. Tumat Oel. All of a sudden, they discovered that there's a mate here, and this guy walked on this block. The Truma Tameh. As far as Truma is concerned, he is Tameh because he was Ma'ayel on a mate. He's Ma'ayel on a mate, he's Tameh. As far as Truma is concerned, he's completely Tameh. The Nazir Ve'oseh Pesach, where the Tzitz is Meratzeh, Tahor. He's Tahor. Now, what does Tahor mean? Chol Tameh V'Tahor L'Habahu. Tahor doesn't mean that retroactively he was Tahor, B'di'avad he was Tahor. Tahor means he continues to be Tahor. Prospectively he's Tahor. That means it's L'Chatchila. The din is that the Tzitz is Meratzeh and takes care of him for the Tumat Tahom, and he's actually Tahor prospectively with regards to Pesach and Nazir. If he needs to bring the Korban after this happens, no problem. So the Gemara says, all right, Ela Itmar Hachi Itmar, that you have to amend the statement of Amar Baravashi, which is, Amar Mar Baravashi, Lo Teima Noda Lo Lachar Zrikahu De Meratzeh. Only if he finds out of Zrikat Adam that it works. Aval nodolo lifnei zrika lo miratzeh, but if you found out before zrika it wouldn't work, meaning that it's only bidiabad, not the chatzchila. Elo afilu nodolo lifnei zrika miratzeh. Even if he finds out before zrika the dam, the chatzchila, he can continue and do the korban. So my Ravashi is saying that the tumat tahom is covered by the tzitz, even the chatzchila. If you do it before zrika, and that's what Rashi said before. When they asked the question about the korban tamid, the going by the korban tamid, I said it's based on this opinion of my Ravashi, which is that even when you find out about it, can he go ahead and continue to do the Korban Tamid, even though he now has Tumat Tahom? Do we say it's L'Chatchila, or do we say bring in another Kohen to do it? That's the question. The question is, if it's Bidiavad, we'll say to him, look, step aside now, we'll get another Kohen here to do it. But if it's L'Chatchila, we'll say to him, he can continue to do it. No problem. Now, we did say yesterday, we had the Tosefta. The Tosefta says that it's only true if he finds out after the fact that it works by Tumat Tahom. But he finds out before the fact it doesn't work. So how do you reconcile with that Tosefta? The answer is, and Tosfot points this out over here, that he finds out between Shechita and Zrika. If it's prior to Shechita, then we don't let him do it at all. It's only after Shechita that he finds out at the Tumat Tahom, then L'Chatchila we allow him to continue with the Zrikat Adam. But at least he has to have started. He has to be at post Shechita. If he's not entered into the world of Pesach and Nazir at all, then, no, we're not going to say that Tzitz is Meratzeh in that case, because the Tosefta says that it only works after the fact, not prior to the fact. So what after the fact is it? So it's not after Zrika now, it's after Shechita. It has to be at least you started the process. Right, Gufa. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss this case. When is this true? When you have this mate across the road that you're automatically Tameh. Shein lo makom lavor. That's if he stretches across the entire road, where there's no possibility that you passed it without going over this mate. But yesh makom lavor, if there's any space around the mate, then after tumat tor, then even for tumat tor, because it's a fake tumah b'shut rabim. We don't know if you crossed over him, or you crossed over the area where he wasn't on the road. So that's a safek tumah b'shut rabim, you're tor. Also, b'meh medurim amurim shenimtzo shalim. If you find the whole body there. Aval mishubarim mifurak. If you find pieces of a body, bones, or pieces of the body, also tahor. Why? Shema ben aprakim avar. It's not a whole body. You assume that he tiptoed through the tulips, and he got through there without touching or being ma'ayel on the bones, or being ma'ayel on whatever it is, tumat oel there. And therefore, he's okay. Here he's tahor. Obekever. If it is a grave, I mean, not simply that it's a mate that's buried here, but it's actually a grave.
Right.
Right. They didn't know about it. It's tumat tahom. It was a grave that was there. Afilu mishubar mifurak, even if the pieces are broken up, tameh. Bivnesha kever mitzarfo. Kever brings them together. Rashi says the kever mitzarfo is that, by tumat oel, it's as if the mate is spread across the whole kever. The whole kever takes on the din of mate. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot says no, that the kever makes it into an oel. And that oel now goes up and is mitameh above, everything above it, because of that. Right, so that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, even though it doesn't fill up the whole kever takes on the properties of the mate. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads it, well, you have a now a kever, and now you have a roof over the kever without the requisite space to be an ohel. So then that brings the tumah upward. So that tumah is now covered by that whole cover. Now takes the tumah up because that hollow space becomes an area that's covered by the ohel, and that brings the tumah up. That's the way it tells us what experience of Rashi again says that the whole empty space becomes like the mate now, and that takes on the properties of the kever. Rashi's shita is that the whole kever becomes tamei. Tosfot's shita is that any part of the kever that's above the mate spreads the tumah in that area. What's interesting here is that this is tumah tahom. How does he have a kever? Who buried him in this kever? If it's a kever, if it's dug, that means it was dug after he was dead, and somebody knows about it, then it's not tumah tahom. So what they have to explain here, as Tosfot notes, is that the kever was dug, and he fell into it. He died by falling into the, he fell into the kever, whatever it was. He died in the kever. It wasn't that someone else dug it. So over time, the wind came, it got blown over, whatever happened that caused it. Whether there was a mapolet, something happened that buried him inside the kever. But the kever pre-existed his dying.
There was like a landslide.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A mapolet, the landslide that covered him over. That would be the case here where he died in the kever that pre-existed him. So otherwise someone would know about it. If someone knows about it, we're lost, not too much home anymore. So that's just another little note here. Now, also, when is this true? It's also true, ma'alech b'raglav, if you're walking. About ta'un, he's carrying a big load, or rachuv, or he's riding on an animal, then tamei. Then we assume that he's tamei, the feature ba'alech, bir raglav, if shar shalo yiga. When you're walking on your feet, then there's a possibility that you could tip throw through the tulips if you have the broken pieces. He doesn't. This is all after the fact. We're finding out the information after the fact. So after the fact, we have to decide whether he's really tamei or not tamei. We know that he went on this path. That information we know. One question is, now did he become Tameh? So as far as Pesach and Nazir, he's totally Tahor. For Truma, he is Tameh. Now, even in Truma, he might be Tahor if there's a possibility he could have gotten through that space without becoming Tameh, because then it'll be subject to Mabishut Rabim and you're Tahor. So what are those Sfeikot? Either it doesn't stretch across the whole road, or there are pieces there. In those cases, we assume that he got around without touching the mate. That's only true when you're walking by foot. If you're riding an animal or carrying a heavy load, the problem when you're carrying a heavy load, you waddle back and forth. So there's no way that you weren't mile on it. On an animal, you take over a bigger area because you stretch across a large area. There's no question that you were mile on the mate. In those cases, you're going to be tamei no matter what. So therefore, if it's a case, malak v'ragav v'shosh lo yiga, v'lo yahel, you didn't touch it or you didn't be, it weren't ohel there, but to'un, or rachuv, it's got a load on him, he's riding on an animal, v'shosh lo yiga, v'lo yahel. It's impossible that you didn't touch it or be mile on it. But may the Rayma Marim be Tumat Tahom. This whole din applies to Tumat Tahom, which is a case where nobody knew about it. Aval b'tuma yudua tamei. If someone else knew about it, then the din that applies to Truma will also apply to Pesach and Nazir. Because now it's like regular Tuma. So that case, it'll be tamei for everything, assuming that there's no safek here. If there is a safek, like it's broken pieces, he's not across the whole road, then it's safek Tumat B'shutabim and it'll be Tor. Be'ezehi Tumat Tahom. What is Tumat Tahom? Kosh lo hikir b'achad b'sof olam. As long as nobody in the world knows about it. If somebody knows about it, ain't it tumat tahom. That's not called tumat tahom. Matzu tamun b'teven b'afaru b'tzorot. He finds them buried under straw, dirt, or pebbles. Is it tumat tahom? That is tumat tahom because it's a possibility they got to be buried under these things. They fell on him. Or something happened that buried the mate here, and he wasn't intentionally buried here. But mayim, if he's in water, b'afilam, he's in a darker spot. He's in the cracks, crevices of the rock. Or ain't it tumat tahom? That's not tumat tahom because somebody had to have seen it. It's in an area or a space where somebody would have bumped into this mate at some point in time. So somebody knows about it. Even if they didn't bury him there, they might have seen it already because it's in an area that's exposed. Not only is it an area that didn't just fall on him and possibly just buried him under it, it's also an area where there's visibility to that area and you could see it. So lo amru tumat tahom ela mate bilvad. And this is that last statement which we had brought earlier in the Gemara, which is tumat tahom only applies by a mate, does not apply by sheretz or by ziva. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. That's what we were discussing before. What does it mean that tumat tahom only applies to a mate? Coming to exclude what? Does that come to exclude sheretz? Does it come to exclude ziva? What are the implications of that? That was how we started the Gemara today. And here we have it. This is the end of that braita describing what tumat tahom is. We'll just do the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. Nitma Shalem. This is about the Korban of Pesach. If it became Tamei while it's still whole, O Rubo, or the majority of it became Tamei, Sorfim Oto Lifnei Abira Matzeim Racha. You burn it in the Migdash. Bira is another name for the Migdash. With the wood
of the maracha, the wood that would be used for the mizbeach. Nitma mi'uto, if only a portion of it became tamei, or notar, the leftovers of the Karban Pesach, which also require burning. Sofim oto b'chatzrotehem, then you burn it in your private courtyard, o algagotehem, on your roofs where they ate it. Me'atzei atzman, you gotta pay for your own wood. But tzaykanin are the miserly people, the tzari ayin, sofim oto lifnei abira, they bring it back to the mikdash, and they burn in the mikdash, b'shvilei not, me'atzei amaracha, so they don't have to provide their own wood, they can use the wood from the mikdash. So that's the reasoning here. I'll just read the first line of the Gemara, we'll come back and do it again tomorrow, which is my time. Why do they burn it inside the Mikdash? The answer is, to embarrass them. So that the fact that they let the Karban become Tamei, we want to embarrass them, so we make them do a public burning. A burning in an area where everybody's found, so that everybody sees why you're burning the Karban Pesach, because it became Tamei, the person will be embarrassed, and that'll be a way to dissuade people in the future, make sure that people don't make it Tamei, because they're going to have to burn it in front of everybody and be embarrassed about it. Tosfot asks the basic question, which is, the Atzei HaMaracha are dedicated to Hekdesh. The decorated Hekdesh, how are we using them to burn a Tamei animal? How are we using it for these miserly people that come in and they want to burn it in the Mikdash? So he says, a principle of Lev Beitin Matna Alehem. Beitin has a condition. There's an underlying condition that they make in the Hekdesh that it can be utilized for these reasons. It can be utilized in the Mikdash because of the Takana to embarrass them. Since we want them to do it in the Mikdash to embarrass them, we provide the wood. We provide the wood because then they'll do it in the Mikdash and they'll be embarrassed. If we don't provide the wood, then they're not going to want to stay in the Mikdash to do it. Since we force them to stay in the Mikdash, we give them the wood. Also, the miserly people, they establish, if we don't give them the wood, they're not going to burn it. And it's going to be a takala. So we give them the wood to burn it. But they are matne. They have a condition built in the Hekdesh of the Atzei HaMaracha that they can utilize for these alternative purposes. Otherwise, it's Hekdesh that can't be used. Now, there is a machloket, as whether there is a concept called Lev Beit Din Mana Alehem. Tosafot says that only applies to kodshei aguf. It applies to karbanot, or things that have real inherent kedusha to them. But kudshat damim, which is hekdesh for its monetary value, like the Atzei HaMaracha, over there everybody would agree that Lev Beit Din Matan Alehem, that they can make conditions built into that. And the conditions they built into here is that you're allowed to utilize it for other purposes or other reasons. All right, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.